Welcome to our episode of Revenue Chat. Today we have Evan Weber, digital marketing expert, known as the hardest working guy in digital marketing. And he says, you can't afford to not work with experience advertising. His big dream is to have 100 concurrent digital agency clients, and he's well on his way. He shares the latest trends in digital marketing next on Revenue Chat. Hi, everyone. This is Tony D'Urso with Revenue Chat, brought to you by Easy Sales Procedures. With us, we have Evan Weber, the hardest working guy in digital marketing, who has been involved in e-commerce and digital marketing for more than 17 years. He's been part of several successful startups and internet ventures. Currently, he runs a digital marketing agency he founded in 2007 and has partnerships in other internet companies. Evan is known as an expert in most aspects of digital marketing and social media, and takes a lot of pride in living up to his reputation as the hardest working guy in digital marketing. He's a recognized conference speaker and content producer. He works with clients on their overall online marketing strategies and introduces them to new e-commerce technologies. Evan stays on the cutting edge of digital marketing and focuses on delivering unrivaled value and ROI for his agency's clients. Evan's website is experienceadvertising.com. All right, everyone, let's get ready for the latest trends in digital marketing with Evan Weber. Hello, Evan. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. You're a who's who in this industry, as well as the hardest working guy, and I'm very pleased to have you on our show, Revenue Chat.
Thank you so much again for having me. Very excited.
Cool. Oh, cool. Evan, you've been in the industry for so long, so how did this all get started for you?
Oh, wow. What a great question. Well, back in the mid to late 1990s, I was just getting out of college and trying to figure out what I'm going to do with my life. I actually was training to be a mental health counselor and getting my master's at the time. But, you know, I always wanted to do something in the internet world. The internet was really taking off at that time. eBay was starting to get big, and actually was partnered with some folks that sold antiques online and costumes and vintage clothing, things like that. And we were starting to sell them online. And this was very early on when, yes, you could build a website, but most websites didn't have a shopping cart. They didn't have a way to accept payments. We also sold a lot on eBay. We listed a lot of items. So that was pretty much where I got my start as far as selling things online, was through that experience. And then basically what happened next was I ended up going to work with someone who I went to college with who had a website selling health plans online, dental plans, actually. And that was a really good experience. That went from late 2001 to 2007. And I learned a lot of what I know about driving traffic to websites and converting traffic into sales or leads through that project, I guess you could call it. And then in 2007, I left there and decided to create my own empire, which basically became Experience Advertising. So the last 8 years, I've been building my agency and working with various clients and staying on the cutting edge, as you said, and delivering for my clients in an agency format. And then I have a few other projects, internet ventures that I'm partnered in with various companies out there that I've gotten involved with over the years. And that's pretty much the rundown.
Wow, that's a lot. No wonder you're so busy. You have your hands in quite a few companies. So,
yes,
Evan.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. What are the latest trends in digital marketing? What's happening out there these days?
Well, it's a very exciting time in digital marketing, I would say. You know, the nice thing about it is it keeps evolving and growing every year. More and more companies are selling online. People are buying online. Obviously, you know how big the internet is. So, you know, learning how to leverage the internet for all it's worth in a commerce sense is what I've tried to master over the years. So, it's you know, yeah, recently in the last, I would say, 3 to 5 years, there's been a little mini renaissance in digital marketing. Things like visitor retargeting ads, you know, where you can advertise to people after they leave your website, they don't buy. That's been a big advancement. And there's also a lot of widgets and tools you can plug into your website to give you all kinds of wonderful functionality that help you turn more of the visitors into purchasers, and they refer their friends, and many wonderful things you can do on a website now that you couldn't do 10 years ago. Or if you did try to do them, it would take a whole bunch of money and a whole bunch of effort to make it happen, where now you can plug it in and 5 minutes later, you have a wonderful website function that can get you further in whatever regard it functions in. So yeah, I would definitely say there's many, many new technologies in digital marketing that are, of course, social media is a huge part of digital marketing now. That wasn't really around, you know, 7 to 10 years ago. So social media is now kind of ponied up to search as number two when you look at how are we driving traffic to our website and getting sales through our website. So that's been a whole channel to master and figure out what works and how to leverage it for clients. So, yeah.
Cool. The social media, as you say, is second only to search. So a company, like for a new company, a startup company, whatever, an existing company, not in social media, as the second biggest, you got to really get into there. And how does your company work with social media? What do you do with social media? Isn't that just, you know, sending posts back and forth?
Well, right. Is that just posting on Facebook once a day? Tweeting once a day? No, it's sort of a very complex type of strategy. It can get very complex, or it can be pretty basic. Most companies, if you're not advertising through Facebook, through Twitter, now you can advertise through Instagram, Pinterest. You need to be LinkedIn. Now that you can actually advertise through these different social networks, it's really presented itself to the forefront of what companies need to be doing and what channels need to be utilized to drive more traffic to your website and get revenue out of those channels, hopefully profitable revenue. So initially they just kind of came online and it was just connect with your friends and send messages and yada yada. Now it's very much a commerce play. It's very much an advertising platform. And so, yeah, actually figuring out how to properly leverage those platforms. I would say Facebook is the largest of the social networks that you can advertise on. And, you know, the bottom line is, you know, many people think Facebook advertising is, you know, just getting clicks to your website or getting some likes on your page, but it's so much deeper than that, and it can be so much more complex and a really powerful source of traffic and revenue if you leverage it properly. So it's all about figuring out which ways to advertise on these platforms and make it work and get that return on investment that you're looking for, or build your email list like you're looking for, increase your subscribers, building up your audience. Studies have shown that when companies advertise effectively through social media, they get more sales on their website. There's a direct correlation. People, if you can bond with people through social networks, they're more likely to buy from you, regardless of what brought them to your website. So it's kind of like it's definitely a must. It's something you can't avoid, And it's just so many, you know, many companies, they don't know how to make it work. So it turns into a little bit of a problem because they may have tried things in the past and the things they're not converting adequately enough. There's no return on their investment. So they say, okay, well, social media advertising doesn't work. Okay. You know, they make a blanket judgment or a conclusion based on, you know, someone that didn't know what they were doing, trying to make it work and it didn't. So, and, you know, having an agency, we run up against that issue, you know, in-house people that tried it. So now the company doesn't think it works. Other agencies that ran some budget for the company and they didn't make it work. So the company doesn't think it works. So we have to overcome a lot of that, a lot of misconceptions, a lot of poor agency performance or in-house people that couldn't make it work. And we have to overcome those things and reintroduce the company to how it should be done properly and then go about making that happen. So, yeah, it's definitely, you know, interesting, keeps me on my toes kind of thing. But, yeah, I do believe these channels. A lot of times a channel like Facebook advertising, for instance, if your website isn't converting the traffic well enough, it may not have return on investment. So you have to put a very strong emphasis on increasing conversion rate, on the what they call conversion rate optimization. And so the better your website capitalizes on traffic in general, the more likely these platforms will be profitable and you can quote unquote scale them. So, but if they're not converting adequately, you can't scale them. And so you start running into issues and problems like, why can't we make this work? And so they may abandon it and just focus on what does work. And so they're leaving a whole channel out of the mix. So that sounds a little pessimistic, but yeah, it's a little bit of a conundrum because, you know, even Google still, companies still have a hard time making Google AdWords convert adequately. So it's profitable. You know, now you're introducing something that they're not searching. They're highly targeted, but they're not in buying mode or searching. So the conversion rate is going to be even lower than what it would be in a normal situation where you're driving traffic to your site, spending money. So again, you have to do a phenomenal job of increasing conversion rate by using various tools and various strategies. And then you can make those channels work properly.
Well, that's very informative, and that's a lot. What can a company do, like in terms of do's and don'ts, to improve their website conversion? What would be some tips that you may offer?
Sure. Well, there are many strategies. There's probably 8 or 9, you know, distinct strategies you can use to increase conversion rate. One of the most common is having customer reviews all over your website. Customer reviews, and there's tools and widgets you can plug in to your website that will give you that functionality, you know, very quickly. You just pay them a monthly fee. That's that kind of thing. So customer reviews and testimonials are very big towards, they say that 90% of consumers will purchase from a website with testimonials and reviews as opposed to one that does not. So they're very, very important. And they can sway people either way, as I'm sure you can imagine. So you have to make sure they're in. And that forces companies to do a phenomenal job at customer service. If you don't take customer service really, really seriously, you won't get good reviews. It forces companies to re-embrace customer service. They should be doing it anyway, but it's even more emphasized in the day and age of customer reviews and testimonials that are being like Yelp and Google Plus, and there's a few others. Facebook lets you leave a review. So, you know, again, 5-10 years ago, there weren't ways of reviewing companies online. So companies could get away with not focusing on the customer experience. So there's that. There's things like live chat widgets that pop up from the bottom and say, hi, how can we help you? That helps facilitate any questions they may have or any, you can give out a coupon. You can use it as a sales tool. So there's the interactive live chat. There's just a straight up pop-up box on your website offering a first time customer discount, you know, 30% off for first time buyers. something really aggressive, and that will help collect email addresses on your site traffic. So if the average website has a 5% conversion rate, that's only 5 out of every 100 that are actually purchasing. The other 95% are going to go away and you're never going to hear from them again, or you're going to offer them a coupon and they're going to give you their name and email because they're interested in saving a significant amount on their purchase. So that's a very common tactic to increase conversion rate. Then there's what's called visitor retargeting, where you're actually dropping a cookie, a marker in the user's browser when they come to your website. And you can actually advertise to people that when they leave the website, you can run ads to them based on what products they were looking at on your site or whether they purchased or whether they didn't. You can set up different advertising campaigns to target different segments of your site visitors. You can target people that bought to buy more stuff. People that bought a bike, you can target them with, you know, a helmet or some knee pads. You know, there's many wonderful things you can do with what's called website visitor retargeting. And so that right there is probably, I would put that as number one on the list of advancements in e-commerce in the last 5 years that have been a game changer. So before the days of retargeting your website visitors, it was very hard to convert people, and they'd come and they leave and you never be able to advertise to them again. It was a huge problem, very huge problem. You know, another way is by using tools like Optimizely. It's a tool called Optimizely, which will allow you to do A/B testing on your website layout, the actual design of your website. For instance, you have a logo, you have a main image, you have a headline, you have a call to action. When you plug this tool into your website, you can actually run A/B tests on the images on your website, on the logo, on the main graphic, on the bullet points, on the headline. You can do what they call split testing or multivariate testing, where you're rotating in different versions of those page elements and seeing which it actually measures which page element converted to the most sales and in what combination. So it's a very powerful, it sounds more complicated than it is. And they've done a great job. Yeah, they've done a great job building these type of tools that are very user friendly. Basically, it allows you to increase your conversion rate through A/B testing without needing any tech assistance. It really puts it in the marketer's hands where it needs to be. Now, when you do put it in their hands, of course they have to use it and use it to its fullest. So that's called, multivariate testing, or A/B testing. It's kind of like the modern day A/B test. So that's been a huge advancement in conversion optimization. So, that's a good 6 of them right there for you. The other one I'd say that's carries a lot of weight are trust logos. The Norton's Trust Seal, Trust E, the BBB, association logos, organization logos, logos that convey trust in the website security, in that a company is reliable and legitimate. Those things, they're more subconscious, but they definitely, when they're there versus not there, there are studies that have shown when you have these particular logos on your website, the number of transactions increases proportionately. So it therefore increases your conversion rate. So just by doing those various, and then of course there's things like making the landing page conform to the source of traffic, you know, things like that, where not everyone's going to your homepage from Google, from Bing, from Facebook. People should be going to either a specific part of your website that is perfect for them, or you make a new page that says, you're looking for flowers and you live in Miami? Welcome, Floridians. We have the best flowers for Miami residents. And because you're from Miami, you're going to save 20%. Something like that. That's personalization, what's known as personalization of the website experience. And it's the industry has gone really hard in that direction recently as well. So And the beautiful thing is that little companies, and some not so little, they're big now, have popped up to build tools to address these different scenarios. So now you have choice. If you want a customer referral program, you know, there's five or six companies you can choose to power that function on your website, and it's only going to cost you $25 a month. You know, if you want an affiliate platform on your website, there's four companies you can pick, and, you know, it's going to cost you $80 a month or $40 a month, depending on how much functionality you want. So it's created, you know, competition with these different tools that you can use on your website. So that's made them better tools and also cheaper tools. So it all goes back to benefiting the advertiser or the merchant. And then, of course, these things can benefit the user if they're all used together in a, you know, proper way that benefits the user experience. Because you never want the technology to hurt the user experience. You know, yeah. You want it to seamlessly help it out and edge it along, and so you can capitalize on your traffic, whatever you're going for, whether it's sales or leads or, you know, viewing a video. There's a lot of tools out there that make these things a lot easier to accomplish for companies. So it's not as hard as it used to be 10 years ago to grow a company online, in my opinion, because of all these advancements. So
yeah, there's a lot. Wow. That's awesome information. Thank you. That is very cool. Evan, we touched about Facebook advertising just earlier. Perhaps quickly, if there's anything else, are there any do's or don'ts? And the reason I ask is because, you know, I hear of companies that have tried and Facebook advertising didn't work for them. You know, any particular do's or don'ts just to kind of, yeah, go ahead.
Well, you have to go about it very methodically and with a strategy. And so there's several ways to advertise on Facebook. There's probably 10 different ways, if not more. So you can advertise for page likes, okay? That's people liking your company page. But if you're going to do that, you should do it because you can actually buy page likes from different third-party sources. You want to talk about a don't? That's a don't. Don't buy likes from a third-party source. You can buy them directly from Facebook, where they're going to be very targeted and very high quality. So, yeah, I definitely recommend spending a certain amount per month just building up your company page likes, or, you know, your if you have a personal brand, you know, like a personality, same thing. You advertise for people who are, if you're a motivational speaker, you can target people who are into Anthony Robbins, Tony Robbins, or into, you know, Oprah Winfrey, or, you know, there's the targeting on Facebook is phenomenal. So you should be leveraging it to its fullest. And a lot of companies aren't. And now it's kind of like the early days of Google, where there was only five companies advertising under your popular keyword phrase. You know, now there's 50, you know. So it's kind of similar in that we're still in the early, early days of Facebook advertising. So because you can target people's interest levels, what they're interested in. If you wanted to target people who are into gardening and you sold gardening supplies, perfect. There you go. So you you know your customers between 35 and 55, and you know they're female and most of them live here, then you can specifically target based on all, you know, that they make at least, you know, $100,000 a year. You know that they went to college as opposed to didn't. These are all targeting parameters that you can select on Facebook to make sure you're only targeting to the most specific people that you want to. Or you can go more general, of course. You can just target people who are into gardening and not drill it down any further. So utilizing Facebook, you know, anyone who says it didn't work, they just didn't do it right, you know, or didn't give it enough time to really prove itself. But again, like we were saying, if your website isn't converting the traffic very well, then it may not have a return on investment because the website isn't effective enough or isn't effectively enough capitalizing on the traffic. So, I mean, I tell companies all the time, don't spend a bunch of money driving traffic to your website. until you're confident in your conversion rate. And of course, none of them are, because they haven't really put in the time to improve it. So you have to go through a process with them where you make suggestions, you suggest tools, you help them implement them. And that's a service my agency provides, is increasing their conversion rate. But, you know, when I think about companies that don't put emphasis on conversion rate and then they go advertising on Facebook, of course it's not going to work because their website sucks. Okay. So, and there's a continuum of bad to good, you know, as far as conversion rate. And, you know, even if they're in the middle, it's not going to be good enough to make it work. So, listen, the smart win, you know, survival of the fittest. The websites that convert better than their competitors can make those channels work and can really leverage them to drive in sales and drive in profitable sales. So, it's really about figuring out what works and what doesn't for you on Facebook. And there's many, you can advertise to your previous customers on Facebook through what's called a custom audience. That's if you have an email list of, say, let's say it's 50,000 people on your email list. You can load that up into Facebook, and then you can run ads to those people that have accounts on Facebook that correspond to their email address. You can do it by phone number too, actually. But That's a phenomenal way to increase customer retention and loyalty through what's called a custom audience.
Mm-hmm. Evan, that's amazing. That's fabulous information. Thank you. Very deep. Love it.
No problem.
Earlier, we talked about very lightly touched upon Google AdWords and so forth. Evan, how do you make pay-per-click search advertising work for clients?
Oh, it really fluctuates client to client. You would be astonished at how poorly companies even go about it, or they use an agency, and it's just horrendous when you look at how it was structured. A lot of it boils down to structuring how the account is structured, how the campaigns are structured. And Google has really come a long way on their the ability to structure campaigns from day one. Now they actually, you just type in your website URL and it goes to your website, scans it, and then it brings back a whole bunch of suggestions for what are called ad groups, which are basically sets of similar keyword phrases. And then it's nice because it puts them all on the list. You can go through each little group and you can approve the ones that are appropriate and uncheck the ones that aren't. And then it creates the groups, it creates the ads for you. You just go in and customize them a little bit. And so basically within, I would say, 15 or 20 minutes, you can have a very well-structured keyword campaign on Google. Now, it's great to have a well-structured keyword campaign, but the fundamental problem is, the more keywords you have, the more cost you can run up, because you're just advertising under a multitude of keywords and they each have cost depending on how much volume, that search volume they have on a daily basis. So usually if the company has a big budget, it's not so much a problem as long as you stay very focused to what they're selling. If they're a smaller company, they don't have a lot of money to really experiment with. You have to start with a very, very finite set, a few keywords, make those work, and then keep adding more. So you say you start with five of the most appropriate targeted keywords to the products the client's selling or you're selling. And then once you see those have ROI, then you can say, okay, let's turn on the next campaign. It's a little less targeted, but it's still targeted. It's just not as targeted. So then as you just systematically keep turning on more keyword campaigns, which adds, you know, a few more phrases to the campaign and a few more clicks. And then you see how many sales those new groups bring in. And if they're doing great, if they're doing well, then you just keep going with that process. Over time, you'll see what phrases, down to the keyword phrase itself, are bringing in what return. You know, some will have a great ROI, quote unquote, some won't. So the ones that have great return, you try to maximize those, you try to increase traffic on those. while keeping them profitable. And the ones that don't have a good conversion or don't have a good return on investment, you crank those off and you minimize the spend on those. And by doing that, by running through that process over a few weeks, and then of course it gets into months as time goes by, you can really drill down onto what keyword phrases work and which ones don't. And of course there's things like seasonality that play into it. You know, right now, anything holiday shopping is going to do well for the next couple months, you know, from next week until the end of the year. You know, this is the time when companies that sell a lot during the holidays really drive in all their revenue. They might drive in 80 to 90% of all their revenue right now over the next couple months in Q4. And then when January rolls around, it drops off a cliff. So seasonality, you know, plays into it heavily. But yeah, the key is to do all those things we talked about, increasing your conversion rate, offering the pop-up to capture email. Once you build your email list more dramatically, I have a client that wasn't running a pop-up. They got a lot of traffic to their website, but they weren't running a pop-up email capture, and they were able to grow their list by 500%. Okay, in 6 months, 500% rate. It was a crazy amount. It was the rate of email capture went up by 500%, which makes sense because they were only capturing email through a transaction, and then they launched a pop up, and so it wasn't like a major shock. You know, it was shocking to them because they didn't think it was going to do that well, but to me, it wasn't a shock. You know, I'm just glad they listened to me, you know, because you can't always get these clients to really implement all your suggestions. And that can be a source of frustration for me personally, but you can't let it bother you as an agency. You just have to do what you can and try to deliver value and, you know, you can handle it like that. But yeah, going back to your question, how do you make paid search? Well, another tip is that Bing ads, which controls the sponsored results on Bing and Yahoo. A lot of companies don't advertise there, and because they spend all their money with Google. They spend their keyword budget with Google, and Bing actually has cheaper clicks on the same keyword phrases. So you can actually get a better ROI advertising in Bing ads, and then there just isn't gobs of traffic there. You know, there's a smaller amount of traffic. It's you know, they have 15 to 20% of the search traffic Bing and Yahoo. So that's a nice little secret. I mean, this week I launched a new campaign for a client. You know, we were able to maintain like the between position 1 and 2 on the page for like 80 cents a click, and on Google it's $3.50 a click. So
wow.
It's a fifth of the cost of what you'll pay on Google. So that's you know, if a company's spending say $3,000 a month in their search campaigns, that $3,000 will go 5 times as far on Bing as it will on Google, assuming there's that much search volume for whatever they're looking for. So yeah, that's a huge that's a nice little tip right there. So because people awesome you know tips. people go on Google and they're like, holy crap, what just happened? You know, they'll burn through $1,000 and in a couple days, and you know, so it's a problem. It's definitely a huge problem, but there's ways of handling it properly.
Evan, those are great tips. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I really do hope that my audience loves that and follows up on that, as well as contacts you through Experience Advertising, because you sure know your stuff. No wonder they call you the hardest working man.
Hey, tell me about it.
You seem to do
yeah,
it all.
It's a little nickname I got. A few people have called me that independently from each other. So I, you know, they ask me, how do you appear to be online all the time? And you know, I put in the work, you know. But there are some little tricks that, you know, I use Hootsuite to post like the same message on multiple social networks. So that's a little trick I use. Like if I go to LinkedIn on my phone, if I go to the LinkedIn app on my phone, Usually, when you pull it up, it shows you your last post that you shared on LinkedIn. So, like, I'll share that one again right on my phone. And then there's a little icon to share it on Twitter also, so I'll click that. So it's just about sharing and, you know, resharing. You know, you have to get good at, you know, having a like a routine for your sharing, like a sharing routine for your content. And that, that can help make, you know, keep, stay in people's consciousness with your content.
That's interesting. It's almost, it's similar but different, but conceptually it's like we spoke about the retargeting of visitors. It's like letting them know. Now, Evan, that is the same, because you also hear that the word remarketing. Is that the same thing?
Yeah. And, yes, it's the same thing. It's basically just another way of saying it. When people say remarketing or retargeting, they mean advertising to the visitors after they leave the website. And you can do it in a few.
Go ahead.
Huh?
No, I was going to ask, is it very hard to do? And you were going down that road anyway.
You can do it directly through Facebook. Okay. Cause, everyone has what's called the Facebook Ads Manager. So you can get it through the Facebook Ads Manager. What you do is you go in there, and you go under tools, and then you go under audiences, and then it asks you to set up a new audience, and it'll ask you, do you want it to be a website audience or a database, like a customer database audience? So you select website audience, and then it gives you a piece of code, like a little script to copy and paste and put it into your website layout. Like if you have a WordPress site, or you put it in the header or the footer file. You know, you take the code and you put it site-wide in either the header or the footer file, or you can just drop it in the homepage if you have like a one-page website, whatever. But you embed the code on the site, and then it starts counting the people as they go. And then you set up an ad campaign targeting just those people. And so you make it say something like, you know, did you leave too soon? You know, did you forget to do something? You know, here's a coupon to finish your purchase. Come back, finish your purchase.
Cool.
That type of thing. Another tool that's similar to that is called shopping cart abandonment email follow-ups, where companies have sprouted up to provide this service. You have to do it through different companies. There's one called SalesCycle, one called V Interactive, and they'll even do it as an affiliate, believe it or not. You pay them a percentage of the sales they recover, but actually it's probably not the best way to go about it, because you'll end up paying them a ridiculous amount of money, because it actually recovers sales. So what happens is, when someone's going through your shopping cart and they're checking out and they type in their name and email when they're putting all their personal information in the checkout. And then let's say they don't finish it. Let's say they say, oh, I'm not going to do this now, or they get distracted, or they say, no, I don't want this anymore. So what happens is the script that you put on the site, it captures their name and email just after they typed it in on the page. They don't have to submit or anything. It just captures the name and email. And then it'll send an automatic follow-up email saying, you know, hello, Tony, you know, did you leave too soon? You know, the shoes are still, you know, are in your cart. Click here to complete your purchase. One of those kind of situations.
Nice.
And so that'll recover sales for the website. And it's another conversion, what I call conversion boosters. These are little tools. Yeah, little tools you can use on the site to recover some sales that have abandoned, you know. And like I said, those kind of tools have really revolutionized e-commerce and digital marketing, because 10 years ago they didn't exist, and it was like it was so difficult to get people to convert, and you know, and the rest just wouldn't, and you just never would hear from them again. There's a huge frustration as a marketer of a website, and I've been through that, believe me. That's why I cherish these tools, and I try to stay on the cutting edge of them, because they're so innovative, and they work so well. So,
from the standpoint of a few years ago, this is a whole new era on the internet, on marketing and sales. Awesome. Awesome information.
No problem.
Evan, thanks. Yeah. Why are you known as the ultimate affiliate manager?
Oh, the ultimate affiliate manager. That's another nickname that I've acquired over the years.
Almost like a superhero. He's the ultimate.
Yeah, I think so, because you know, if you're familiar with the affiliate marketing industry, you know how if you've ever tried to be an affiliate yourself, if you've ever tried to promote anything online, you know, on a percentage of sale basis, trying to make some money, promoting a company, you know how hard it is, and, mm-hmm. and how it's most definitely not easy to make mm-hmm. any money. So the people that are attempting to be quote-unquote affiliates of various companies that I've either worked at or worked for over the years or owned part of, I was always there for the affiliates. When I was at my, you know, at the last company, dentalplans.com, I would get on the phone with all the affiliates. We had a very large affiliate program. We grew a very large affiliate program over the years, and I would provide all the phone support for all of our affiliates for a number of years. And then eventually we hired some full-time affiliate managers so I could focus on other things. But I still really liked having those conversations. They're very simple conversations. It's how to get the banner up on their website. It's how to put a link in their blog post, how to send out an email to their list, you know, things that are fairly to an experienced, you know, internet marketer. These are things that are fairly simple, but to someone who's just getting into it or who needs the help and needs, I remember I had to teach all myself that all that stuff going back, mm-hmm. you know, 15, 20 years. There was a time where I was learning how to put HTML code onto my website and upload it to my hosting account. You know, I didn't know how to do that. So I turn around and teach other people how to do that. So, you know, over the years I've made some wonderful friends through this process, talking to people, explaining to them how to be an affiliate, how to make money online, being someone who can actually convey that in a, tangible way, a way that they could really absorb. That's what I've tried to do. I've created a lot of articles and content to answer people's questions and provide the kind of tutorials and information that people need to know in order to be more effective as an affiliate marketer. So that's kind of how I became the ultimate affiliate manager, because I'm the person they can call 24/7 if they have a question about the company or how to put a banner on their website or how to share something properly and make sure it tracks or how much money are they owed. Whatever it may be, I'm still there for them, quite frankly. I put my phone number, my mobile number in all the affiliate programs we manage for clients. I put my phone number in there. I still daily calls on a daily basis. So it's something I enjoy doing, to be honest with you. The fact that I'm good at it is just like an indirect benefit for somebody. I like to perform that role like it should be done, in my opinion, like a really, you know, helpful, friendly affiliate manager, you know, whether a lot of people don't take that role seriously enough, because they don't know how to do these things either. They don't know how to drive traffic or make it convert or, you know, utilize social media effectively or SEO or PPC. You know, I know how to do these things, so that allows me to impart them to other people and be the ultimate affiliate manager flat out. Is just when they talk to me, they're not expecting to get what they're going to get. So I relish that role. It gives me brings me a lot of gratification, to be honest with you, just because I know that I've helped them and they've told me so and they've thanked me, you know, a lot of times profusely. And so that it motivates me. What can I tell you? It's I'm not trying to toot my own horn. I'm just, you know, I'm trying to convey that this is a thing that, because I've been doing this a long time, I'm able to do, I've been doing this for years. It's not just like I became able to do this like recently. I know it's been a process. I've been doing this for 15 years, just working with affiliates on the phone and through email. So it's a lifestyle, man. What can I tell you? I wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, you remind me of an artist. You really get into it. You're very passionate about all of these tools, and you're very, very, very good at it. So,
thank you. I appreciate it.
It's like the artist. You're a virtuoso.
Like Jimi Hendrix.
Like Jimi Hendrix. You know, I have to tell you as an aside, every time I see your name anywhere or think of it, the first thing that pops up is Jimi Hendrix, because I don't think there's any one person in this world that promotes him as much as you do. I love it. I love all your posts. They're cool. And you've got vintage photos of him that I've never seen before. Like the other day, he's in some locker room jamming. That's like cool.
Right. Well, what's cool about, actually I found a lot of those photos recently on Instagram, because if you search for the hashtag, hashtag Jimi Hendrix, then you'll get like a whole feed of all people who have hashtagged Jimi Hendrix on their post. And that's actually important for commerce, because when when you're on Instagram and you're hashtagging things, that helps people find your products. So here's a little, unexpected benefit to using Instagram is now I found all these really rare photos of Jimi Hendrix that I hadn't seen before. And to a fan like me, seeing a rare photo that I've never seen before is kind of like amazing. I don't know how else to describe it. It's just like a new discovery, for business, Instagram is way up there on the top of the list for a lot of companies, a new platform that people need to be leveraging, because you can advertise on there now. You can run ads on Instagram, and you can build a community on there, and you can get a lot of organic traffic from Instagram, a lot of organic sales by doing it properly. Marketing your company on Instagram, and certain things work are more conducive, to Instagram than other things. Things that are more visual, things that are visual, very visual, will do better than things that aren't visual. And of course, popularity plays into it. But Instagram has been, if there's, what's the latest and the greatest, that's Instagram is the latest and the greatest as far as advertising, because about a month ago, Facebook rolled out the ability to advertise on Instagram because they own Instagram. So, that opened up a whole channel of new inventory, of very, very targeted inventory for companies to leverage going into the holidays. So when you see the quarterly report from Facebook, and you see how much revenue Instagram did, they're in their first, Q4 ever as far as an advertising platform, I think it's going to be pretty big, but it's not going to be anything near what it's going to be next year, because there's only so many companies advertising on there right now. And by this time next year, that's going to be like 10,000 times what it is now, or some crazy, crazy multiplier, just because companies haven't migrated over there yet. They haven't, they haven't tested it yet. They haven't allocated budget for it. A lot of these companies, they have budgets that don't change. So next year they're writing in the budget, $10,000 a month for Instagram or however much. And where this year there just wasn't budget for it. So I expect it to grow tremendously over the next year. So Instagram and Pinterest are really coming on strong. Behind, Google, Facebook, Bing, Yahoo, Instagram, Pinterest, of course there's other channels. There's display networks. There's lots of places to advertise these days. A lot of video advertising being done. Video is big online, 'cause now with, everything's broadband, you can actually run video ads. So a lot of the money is going into video ads. So digital is growing, Tony. It's still growing. It has a lot of room to grow in video. It has a lot of room to grow in just online, in social network advertising. You know, search still has room to grow. So definitely a lot of upside in digital. You know, it's a good industry to be in, and there's jobs in this industry. You know, for people out there, like, looking for jobs in digital, there are jobs. There's a lot of social media manager jobs, managing these different advertising platforms. It's something that people can learn relatively quickly and then go get a really respectable job in digital marketing. So I'm excited about the prospect of a lot of people working in this industry and making a good living doing it. So,
awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
A lot of my content recently has been, you know, how do you have a career in this industry? You know, So I plan on writing some more posts about that, so people can, you know, read my posts about how to work in this industry. You know,
I love it, Evan. The industry is so huge now. From the point of a small business or a startup, they could go everywhere. So, if we could say, what are the key fundamental points for them? Like, what advice would you give for the small business or startup to go into this?
Well, what a great question. And it comes up pretty regularly. You know, a startup will come my way and they'll say, you know, if this was yours, how would you grow this? I say, well, okay, first you need to work on your conversion rate. You need to do X, Y, and Z, A, B, C in order to have a good conversion rate. Then you can start advertising effectively. You can advertise in search. You can advertise on Facebook. You can do visitor retargeting. You can even launch an affiliate program. If you have something that lends itself to that, you can have a customer referral program. You could be doing content, you know, SEO articles. You could be making videos for SEO. There's many channels to not experiment or exploit, but, you know, you have to leverage these different channels depending on what you're selling and what kind of thing you have going on. But a lot of the same concepts apply across the board. You know, content drives free traffic. I love videos for organic traffic. Short little videos that you upload to YouTube on certain topics, those can get ranked and bring you traffic relatively quickly. Referral partnerships are always great, as you know. Affiliates and also other companies acting as your affiliate. You affiliate, you know, you promote them, they promote you, and you pay each other on a rev share. I call that partnership marketing. I see a lot of companies that are in the B2B vertical. They'll hook up with another company that's in the B2B vertical. They have the same audience, but a different product for sale or a different service. And so they'll promote each other, and you can get a lot of clients like by doing that. So it's all about tapping into the source, you know? But yeah, there's no quick fix. There's no way around the trial and error that has to be gone through in order to see what keyword phrases work, for instance, in paid search, what targeting parameters work on Facebook. Getting more affiliates on board is should be a constant effort to build up that channel as broadly as possible. And then, of course, content, you know, lots and lots of original content, articles, blog posts, press releases, videos, you know, a really strong content strategy. And you need an organic strategy, and you need a paid traffic strategy, and doing them all at once simultaneously. Because if you're leaving something out, if you're not focusing on it, you're dropping the ball for that period of time. If you're, you know, ever not producing more content or shutting off your keyword campaign, or you just have to figure out anything paid, you have to figure out how to make it work. And, you know, because of all the things we talked about, the retargeting and the and the different site widgets, referral programs and things that will turn one customer into multiple customers or at least one more customer. A lot of times that will pay for the cost of acquiring the new customer. And then, of course, retention is a very big problem and getting people to stay on board with you as a customer. A lot of effort has to be put towards retention. What's your retention strategy? What's your customer loyalty strategy? Are you charging them monthly? Are you getting them, you know, in a continuity program? Continuity programs are great for online. If you can get people subscribing to a monthly box delivery or some kind of a membership to your digital information course of how to be a, you know, how to do online marketing or how to sell real estate, or, you know, there's a lot of money in information products too. It doesn't always have to be physical. It could be a digital information product. I see a lot of people succeeding with those type of products. So many, many opportunities, and, you know, you have to find what works for you. And if you have that entrepreneurial spirit, you figure out what you think you can make money with. You start a little business and you grow it and you read my articles and then you, you know, work your butt off and eventually you'll be successful.
Well, thank you very, very much, Evan. It has been an honor and a pleasure to have you on the show. Very informative, great information. I loved it. It was great.
Thank you for having me, Tony. Anyone who wants to contact me, please do so, evan@experienceadvertising.com or www.experienceadvertising.com. And I'd be happy to answer any of your questions or be your agency of choice to market your company.
Very cool. Well, I hope everybody surely does that. Thank you again, Evan. Evan's website again is experienceadvertising.com. Okay, thank you again, and stay tuned to our next show on Revenue Chat. We're going to have Wally Olope, founder of Right Side Trading, a stock market trading school, who says, the stock market is like a huge ATM machine. All you need to know is how to read the access code. Wally provides simplified stock market insights with us on our next episode of Revenue Chat. This is Tony D'Urso, brought to you by Easy Sales Procedures. Get the book at TonyDURSO.com. And until next time, and remember, you can make life better for yourself and everyone. Choose wisely. Hi, this is Tony D'Urso, author of the new book, Easy Sales Procedures. You know, in my career, I've made impressive record-breaking sales forays into real estate, collectibles, insurance technology, and other varied industries. My accomplishments include raising $3.25 million in a six-month period. Now, despite what we've been told, sales is an art. There are sales procedures that can be applied precisely as a science, but in essence, it's truly an art. There are fundamentals that you need in place that will help you with your sales, marketing, and business. Get Easy Sales Procedures to help put your business into proper perspective. You know, too many people seem to make sales complicated. Hey, it's easy. All you need are some basics and three words: open, agree, and get. That's it. That's EasySalesProcedures.com. This book will endow you with the simple truths at the core of being a sales master, and also contains salesman training drills that, when practiced, demonstrate how to interest any person in anything. These simple procedures can be applied by anyone from any walk of life, because in modern day society, every person is involved in interesting or selling someone something. That's Easy Sales Procedures. Get your copies now at a low price from EasySalesProcedures.com. Order enough for all your employees, too. Here's to volume sales success for your life and business.